Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll visit with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber about his recent trip to Iraq, and we'll find out what Month of the Military Child means here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Every day, women, men, and children across America suffer the pain and trauma of sexual violence. This heinous crime is one of the most underreported crimes in America. Members of the Minnesota National Guard are not immune to this violence. During National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, I want to bring attention to the problem and encourage victims and survivors to seek help. Sexual violence cannot be ignored. The assault may hurt one, but it affects all. A sexual assault can reverberate throughout a unit and beyond, degrading unit readiness by harming the life of the victim and the military's ability to work effectively as a team. In accordance with the Department of Defense policies, we seek to establish a climate of confidence for our service members, a climate where education and training create an environment in which sexual assault and the attitudes that promote it are not tolerated. We strive for a climate in which victims of sexual assault receive the care and support that they need and offenders are held accountable for their actions. The Minnesota National Guard can lead the way of change by confronting and changing insensitive attitudes and challenging misperceptions and biases surrounding sexual violence. As we continue to fight this crime, let me reaffirm my stance on sexual violence within the Minnesota National Guard. Sexual violence will not be tolerated. Our dedication to this problem reaches far beyond Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It is my job as the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard to provide a competent, ready force. We will continue to have programs in place like sexual assault prevention and response to support our service members. And we will maintain the required personnel, equipment, training, and resourcing levels that ensure our success.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, who has had a long and a very interesting career in the military. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Sir, for those listeners that might not have heard you on the radio before, you had a pretty good career that was put on hold because just when you thought you were going to go back to Afghanistan for another exciting adventure, you came across a bit of a medical problem.
Yeah, a little bit of a curveball.
And you named him Buford.
Buford.
Could you explain to our listeners what happened, sir?
Yeah, I was 2 weeks out of receiving word from General Petraeus to join him in Afghanistan, to do for him in Afghanistan what I did for him in Iraq. And 2 weeks later, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And yeah. 2 weeks after that, I was in the hospital getting my plumbing redesigned and pulled out and really some ungodly things I never thought I would see in my life. And the next 2 years, I've just gratefully been able to fight this thing.
But not only fight it, you've been out giving speeches and you've had a retirement ceremony. You've written a book. I mean, you've just been, just when people thought things were going to start slowing down and you have this problem, you picked up speed.
My funeral is going to be downright anticlimactic. 4 months to live, 6 months to live, 6 months to live, and I'm still here. So I think about it, but you just take each day one at a time.
And instead of having a mission to Afghanistan, you've got a mission for all the rest of us to show us how to live, despite the fact that you've got some real serious problems.
Well, people want to follow. By God, I'm all game for leading the way in some new and exciting adventures. So,
Colonel, I think for our listeners to understand, you went on a little trip back to Iraq, but tell us about the first time over there. You had a special mission to Iraq, and you were assigned as a liaison officer with the Kurdish military?
Well, not with the Kurdish military, with the Iraqi military. It was the Iraqi chief of defense. their senior military leader, the equivalent to our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Only in Iraq, that person is also the commander of all armed forces. And so when I got over there, General Petraeus said, you know, we haven't really done this before. This is new, so we're not really sure what parameters to provide for you, but just, you know, make yourself amenable to him, help him in the things that he needs, be the grease for between him and the coalition, and work as my liaison. And so that's what I did. And it was General Babacar Zabari, who is Kurdish, but was the commander of all of Iraq's armed forces.
And Colonel, you lived with them, you ate with them,
a year.
You went native on us.
Yeah.
You even learned
some
the language.
Some might have argued they were a little worried during that year as I was speaking more and more Kurdish, and I went with them everywhere. I'm the only aide or military assistant that he's had that's done the things that I did with him.
And you developed a great relationship with the general.
Yeah, just really good. I'm the only one who's learned Kurdish, so he tells me. And I learned some interesting things from all that.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, you had an opportunity recently then where the general, you contacted him or you were in contact with him. And despite going through all the things you're going through with stage four cancer, you had an opportunity to go back to Iraq for a couple of weeks.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's been several years. We've maintained contact since I left. And I swear to you, every year I thought, okay, the honeymoon's over. This whole you're part of the family and we love you so much is going to wear off because it was a year, for God's sake. But it didn't wear off. He came to the United States twice in 2007 and in 2011. And both times I was invited out to D.C. and I went out there and we've enjoyed company. We stay in touch by phone. He has a phone that I can call him on a cell phone anytime. But we talk a couple times a year. And yeah, so the invitation to come to Kurdistan has always been there. I mean, when you're here in Minnesota, where, you know, a good neighbor invites you to their house, they don't invite themselves, you know, over to yours. And so he's always invited me to come over there.
Takes a little work on his part and your part, but the
right.
relationship flourished and grew.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my first year I was really tore up still from the surgery. And last year I had a feeding tube. And this year, things were working out. So I was like, this is it. My health has been deteriorating. I know I sound healthy, but you know, this is terminal.
Sir, you didn't go alone on this trip. There were some doctors and you had a crew with you.
Yeah. Irony of ironies. My cancer's in my liver and General Zabari's younger brother, Ghazi, is a transplant surgeon in the U.S. One of the best, in fact, in the country. And he was leading a medical mission humanitarian team to Iraq. And so I said, hey, best way to mitigate the risks associated with my condition is to hang out with you if I can. And so he invited me to join him on my trip to go with him to visit his brother. And it was just perfect.
So you're over there and you ate well and drank a lot of tea.
yeah, way more than I should have eaten and way more than I should have drank.
So a pretty good trip.
Yeah, it was just supposed to be like a family reunion. People were asking me, what are you going to do? Well, it's a family reunion. And I had then explained to them the connection with General Babacar, but it turned out to be so much more.
So did you actually get to spend some time with the general towards the end of the trip?
No, half the trip. He was in Baghdad for half of the time. But he came halfway through, and we, you know, every night. It was with him or some other member of the Zabari family, but more than that, I mean, I was doing medical stuff with the medical mission team. We went out to a refugee camp. I saw the first ever liver transplant in the region.
Let's see now. You're having trouble with stage four cancer of your liver, and you're watching a liver transplant.
Right.
Wow.
And they said, this is what we're going to try and push for you, Mark. You know, this is what Ghazi and the other medical members of the team said. We're going to help you make this happen.
So you had to go halfway around the world to watch a liver transplant.
But I may have to go there myself if no one in the U.S. will do it. I'm prepared to do it because I've seen it done now. I know it can be done with half the tools, no less.
There's something strange about that, sir.
And they did it. I mean, they did literally with half the tools that we have here in the United States. I would have thought both of those guys were dead.
And you scrubbed up and went in and watched.
I did. They invited me in. I stood right by the patient. 12 hours of surgery. I watched the donor, a living donor, and then the recipient, a father-son team. And that was surreal.
It's an amazing trip, sir. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that trip and about the mission continues. We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fellow veterans and supporters, this is Lee Alfritz, Department Commander of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, inviting you to join us for Memorial Day Ride for Healing. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veteran Memorial Education Center. For more information, visit rideforhealing.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, who's a member of the Minnesota National Guard and who recently took a little trip to Iraq. Colonel, I'm curious, Iraq's still kind of not a very safe place. How difficult is it to get from Minnesota to Iraq, and was there any special problems you had to get in the country?
Well, it depends on how you're traveling. Many people may be familiar with the northern part of Iraq, which has been pretty secure since the Gulf War. And that line of demarcation, so to speak, starts at the city of Erbil. So if you look on a map, it's almost halfway up into the country. And there are direct flights from Frankfurt, Germany, straight into Erbil. And because I was a special guest, I didn't have any problem with visas.
So in Iraq...
Your passport is essentially what I was told. We'll take care of everything. And it really was. I swear to you, it was like royalty. I mean, I was treated like a head of state when I got there.
General Babacar took care of that.
Yes. And the Kurdish Prime Minister and the President, because I know them personally too.
So as we look at Iraq, the southern half of Iraq is the Sunnis and the Shias, and the northern part is the Kurdish region. And
it's more accurate to say the south is Arab and the northern part is Kurd, because that's the ethnic distinction. And then in the south, of course, they have a Sunni-Shia divide religiously. Okay. But in the north, they have no religious divide.
And the north is pretty stable and
very
and
stable.
Pretty safe.
Business is booming. I mean, European countries are flooding in. There's hotels everywhere. I mean, in the city of Duhok, which is where we traveled, that's Babacar's home, there were hotels everywhere. And I said, what's with all the hotels? Well, everyone's traveling from southern Iraq to northern Iraq. It kind of reminded me of going up north, right? If you're in St. Paul, you head up north to the lakes. Well, if you're in Iraq, you head up north to Kurdistan.
So you go up there for safety and relaxation.
Yeah, and R&R for regular Iraqis. And they stay in the hotels for a couple of weeks, and they go back home. And it's an oasis up there. I mean, it's beautiful.
Sir, you were over there with this medical team.
Yeah.
And I know that you were telling me a little bit about some Syrian refugee camps.
Yes.
Can you share that with us?
Yeah, well, all the turmoil going on in Syria right now. About 7 months ago, the Kurdish region set up a refugee camp to deal with Syrian Kurds. These are Kurds that have settled into Syria, because most of the Kurdish people are not in northern Iraq. They're in Syria, Turkey, and Iran. So displaced Syrian Kurds were fleeing Syria and all the trouble. And so, like I said, 7 months ago, they set up a refugee camp. It is now 50,000 people large, and it's surging by about 1,000 a day. And during the little press conference that we had there, you know, we were asking what are the conditions like. They said the illness is very low. I mean, you'd never imagine. I mean, it's tents as far as you can see. They're stacked on top of one another. And one of the more curious things that I noticed in this little tour that we took on foot is that there's satellite dishes on nearly every one of those tents, which is, I mean, it's comical. There's no way around it. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but I kept seeing just a single snapshot image with the word priorities on it.
Everybody's wired today, aren't they?
Right. And the Kurdish government pays for the upkeep of this refugee camp. There's some help from the UN, but it's mostly the Kurdish people taking care of their fellow Kurds.
They must be hauling in supplies every day, all day.
Yep. And it's an open refugee camp, so they can leave. They can go look for work in Duhok or surrounding cities, Zahol. It's really just amazing.
So you can speak Kurdish because you were over
right
there before, so you got to talk to some of these folks.
Oh, man, that was awesome. There's nothing like speaking a foreign language when no one expects you to to speak it. Now, it's one thing to go to Germany and speak German because, you know, chances are you've learned German somewhere along the line, and it's not so extraordinary to speak German. But to go to Kurdistan, Kurdish, learning Kurdish is like learning Native American language. So it's like going to an Indian reservation and speaking a dialect of Cherokee or something like that.
Very,
like, holy cow. I mean, just looking you up and down like, who are you? Where are you from?
Because nobody does that.
Right. What an awesome feeling. Just a human to make that connection and to see this sparkle in their eye of, you know, where are you from? Halki Kieria. You know, I'm from Minnesota.
So how were the refugees? Were they in pretty good shape mentally and physically?
Yeah, I took pictures of it to prove it because I didn't think anyone would believe me. But the kids are all there's at least half the camp is kids. They're everywhere. And they're all laughing and having fun. They're just, you know, it's like, man, this is a life lesson looking at these people. They clearly have perspective on their lives.
So you were out there talking to the refugees and then
kids,
scrubbed in
kids.
And watched some operations.
Mostly kids is who I was talking to, yeah.
And then you...
They looked at me like I was a monkey. You know, I mean, like, who are you?
You clearly enjoyed that part of the trip, didn't you?
Oh, man, that was fun. And then he slipped some money to the, you know, if someone let us see the inside of their hut, you know, and slip them some cash, and they're like, oh, my God, you know, this is... It just felt so great. And that was nothing to be able to do something like that. It felt like you should be able to do so much more.
I suppose they were just happy to be out of Syria and away from the danger.
Yep. They really were. Perspective. They had perspective.
And the Iraqi Kurds were taking good care of them.
Yep.
That's a whole different viewpoint than we see in the news, isn't it?
Right.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber on Minnesota Military Radio about his recent trip to Iraq. Sir, you're also a part of... The mission continues. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the CEO of the company, Eric Greitens, asked me to speak to his first group of, or his first orientation for fellows last January. And so I accepted that invitation, and that's where I found out that the mission continues is an organization that caters to veterans who are transitioning from uniform into civilian life. And they do that in one and only one way. By offering fellowships, and those fellowships are 6 months long, approximately 20 volunteer hours per week, and then they pay the veteran a stipend, and it works out to roughly $8,000 or $9,000 for the 6 month period. You can pick any nonprofit agency you want to work for. Ideally, that results in a job. You know, it's like a 6 month internship, so to speak. Yeah, and I thought this is great. Their byline is it's not a charity, it's a challenge, because veterans are struggling to find work. They are struggling to find new purpose. But giving them a check and saying, "Hey, good luck," is not the way in their eyes.
Reading from their website, sir, it says, "Driven by a deep belief that veterans are civic assets and leaders, the mission continues is built around challenging them to continue to serve here at home."
Right. And the reason that it really resonates with me so deeply is because it demands something from the veteran. It doesn't say you're owed anything. It says you've come back, you've done a great service for your country, but now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with this hardship, some small, some large, with transitioning back into the civilian world? And we'll help you, but we're not going to carry you.
So part of the answer to transition from your military life to civilian life is to become involved, if you're chosen or if you choose to do so,
right,
with the mission continues, and learn about yourself by helping others.
Right, and to find the same sense of purpose that brought you to the uniform in the first place.
So, and you are now experiencing a fellowship there.
Yeah, so a year later, now just 2 months ago, I decided, you know what? I ought to get in the trenches with these guys. I ought to just do it. And they're like, but you have terminal cancer. I mean, you probably... And this is not an exaggeration. You might not last the full 6 months. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Well, we've got to get you transitioned from military to civilian, sir.
Right. It's the, I like to call it the ultimate transition. You know, so I'll do what I can do for as long as I can, you know.
So as the mission continues, was that part of this trip? I know I saw pictures you were wearing the shirt, the mission continues.
Yeah.
Is that part of your fellowship?
I mean, just listen to the title. The mission continues. Now, whether you're a veteran transitioning into civilian world or you're going through some hardship like I am, where you're facing death, your mission continues. Like, I'm sorry that this hardship has happened, but what are you going to do about it? That's the question.
What a great example. I mean, you were in Iraq as a military man, assigned as a liaison officer.
Right.
And now you're going back for a visit, and you're helping out in a Syrian refugee camp.
Right. Like, literally, the mission, I mean, it's like multiple layers of awesomeness.
Colonel, you're amazing.
No one supported it, by the way. It was like, this is crazy. Why are you going to Iraq? Literally, my doctors said, you know, you could die in Iraq. So I made contingency plans. How am I going to get the body home? You know, all that kind of stuff I thought about and planned for. And it didn't happen. Here I am talking to you.
We're glad to have you back, too,
sir. So I told you so.
Yes, sir. Now, we just got about a minute or so left, but you experienced so much in the last 2 years since you were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And you have to admit, you're not a typical patient.
Yeah.
I mean, you've learned all the medical terms, you've learned how to take care of yourself, you're still traveling around, you've written a book, you went to Iraq. What have you learned? What's the message? It seems to me that you're teaching us how to live.
Yeah.
While you're going through this.
Well, it's a combination of pragmatism and idealism. It's not one or the other. And people like to latch on to one or the other, but it's a healthy mix of the two. Because people say, oh, you have such a positive attitude. Well, it's not always positive. I'm not always happy about the things that happen to me or about the options that I've been given. But the message in my book, the message behind my fellowship, the message behind everything that I've done is, instead of focusing on what you're going to lose or what you don't have, focus instead on what you do have, the options you have, the life that you have, the options that you've been given, and work with that. And you may be disappointed if you fail, but, you know, you're damned if you don't at least try. Just try. Just try a couple of steps and see where it gets you. And maybe it won't work, but at least you tried.
So be grateful for the good things in life and deal with the other things and full speed ahead.
Except those two, you know, but that, like, I use the feeding tube as an example. When I was on a feeding tube for 4 months, food never tasted so good as when I wasn't able to eat it for 4 months. I had to experience the hardship in order to get the joy. So it's not in one or the other. It's about seeing that one comes with the other and that you can, you know, it's not about making the best of a crappy situation. It's about seeing that there's good with the crappy situation, actually seeing it.
And continue to experience
and
move forward and learn
and
teach others.
Right. Like, I think that's the meaning of life. The hardship, the all this crap that happens in life, it has to be the meaning of life, because we all go through it. From the moment we're born to the day we die, which we're all going to do, no one's exempt. So it has to be the meaning of life. It can't be something that we pray to God for halfway through our lives and say, please lift this from me. Maybe. I'm just proposing here that that's the reason for the journey. And then beyond that, I'm willing to accept it's a mystery.
It's a mystery, but you're writing a new page every day, sir. You're doing a great job of it.
And having fun doing it, too.
I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber on Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we'll be back, and we'll find out what Month of the Military Child means right here in Minnesota. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll find out what Month of the Military Child means here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
As I reflect on the sacrifices our Vietnam veterans have made for our country, I am reminded that it is never too late to pay tribute to and honor those who answered our country's call in Vietnam. In recognition of a chapter in our nation's history that will never be forgotten, last Memorial Day, President Obama proclaimed May 28, 2012 through November 11, 2025 as the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. The 13-year program honors and gives thanks to a generation of Americans who saw our country go through one of the most challenging missions ever faced. The federal government will continue to partner with local government, private organizations, and communities across America to participate in the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. To all my fellow Vietnam veterans listening, welcome home.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. April is the month of the military child, and joining me now to talk about that is Laura Grenewig from Deployment Support Services and Amber Greenlee from Operation Military Kids. Laura, Amber, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Laura, our topic today is Month of the Military Child.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about it?
Absolutely. Month of the Military Child is an opportunity for the communities and actually the states or across the nation to recognize military-connected youth. Communities can do several things to recognize youth, do things such as Purple Up or provide other military recognition.
So is this an annual event?
It is an annual event. It was created actually back in 1986 just to raise awareness for military-connected youth.
Now, you've been on the show before, and we've talked about this, but in Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard has about 14,000 soldiers and airmen, mm-hmm. and over the last 10, 11 years, they've had deployment after deployment after deployment, and their children mostly go to public schools, mm-hmm. But the military children experience some things that the non-military children don't, and so they can have some issues, and some of these programs are there to help the military children, correct?
Yes, yeah. We do not have the active duty military base here in Minnesota, so there's not that common space for kids to connect and support each other and work through some of the emotions that they have around surrounding deployments. And so we have the Minnesota Military Teen Panel, which is an opportunity for teens to connect. And then we also have the Minnesota Teen Summit, which brings 50 teens together so that they can network, connect, work on leadership and team building skills.
So part of this is for our military's children to come together and discuss some of the common issues, like having a parent gone for 6 months.
Yeah, so that they know that they're not the only ones that are going through deployment or have done it or feel certain emotions that they feel, anxiety, fear, anger, stress.
This has been going on for quite some time, so I'm assuming that they like getting together and talking about these things and figuring out how to get through it.
They do. They actually really enjoy connecting with one another and just knowing that there's somebody else that's gone through the same thing, and they can recognize that, but then go on and talk about other things.
So while they're at school, they're just one of the other kids in a grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they do have something special in that a lot of them have experienced the fact that a parent has been gone or deployed and, mm-hmm. and maybe just off on the weekends would be mm-hmm. great. But they do have some things to talk about, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They really like connecting.
Amber, you're part of Operation Military Kids. Can you tell me what that is?
Sure. I work with the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development, and part of my work there is with the Operation Military Kids program, which is it's a national program funded by the Army, but we are open to support every branch of the military. And so our main goal and our mission is simply to support military kids before, during, and after the deployment of a loved one. So we know that it's not just mom or dad that might be in the military, but maybe it's aunt or uncle or older brother and sister, an extended family and friends. And so we use the term loved one because, again, we support all of them and through any phase of the deployment. And so we do that through retreats and camps and partnering with like the National Guard with Laura and putting together the teen panel and teen summit and that sort of thing.
So in Minnesota, you work with the Minnesota National Guard and with the reserve units, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's some active duty families
Correct.
Here that have loved ones that are out and about the world, too.
Correct. Yep. Yep, that's one thing we don't think about very often is those active duty families, but we do have those in Minnesota when we think about all the recruiters and those that are around the state at the different strip malls and recruiting offices, that those are active duty families that are, this is their station, and so we need to support them as well as our Guard and Reserve families.
So at Operation Military Kids, what's your mission and how do you accomplish it?
Sure. So our mission, like I said, is clearly just to support military kids before, during, and after a loved one's deployment. And we do that through retreats. We have Speak Out for Military Kids retreats where the kids can come and talk about what it's like to have a loved one in the military and how they've gone through a deployment. So they learn to speak and share their story. We have different camps. We've had camps the last few summers. Sometimes they're family camps. Sometimes they're overnight. We have we do trainings for schools and for community members. As Laura talked about, that it's hard for the kids. They go through, have different challenges, and they might be the only one in their school. So we work with schools and communities to help them understand what the kids are going through and how they can better support them.
We're speaking with Laura Grenewig and Amber Greeley about the Month of the Military Child. On Minnesota Military Radio. Laura, how do you reach out? How do you connect with we've got armories all over the state, mm-hmm. so we've got military kids all over the state. How do you reach out to all of them?
Well, to reach out to some of the kids, what we go through are the Family Readiness Support Assistants who support each unit, and we also go through Family Assistance Centers to reach out to those kids, and through beyondtheyellowribbon.org, we have an e-postcard that families can sign up for. And they can learn about all the different events and activities that we have available for them.
So you go through the military units and reach out to the service member, let them know that you've mm-hmm. got things that you can help with.
We do.
Send them out some information, and then do they come contact you, Amber?
Yep, we get a lot of those requests as well, and our website is operationmilitarykids.org, and we partner together with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Both of our websites are on the other, and families will contact us looking for support, looking for things for their kids to do to stay connected with other military kids.
So tell me about your website. Is there a list of events and a list
yep.
of things coming up that they can go on there and check out?
Yep. It's a national website, but once you get there, you can click on state information in Minnesota. So every state, we can send families, if we get a call from somebody in Iowa, we can say, well, you can check out the Iowa page as well. So they can go on there, and each state has their own calendar. So we keep that up to date with any upcoming events. And if there's a camp coming up, the registration forms will be on there, and there's any upcoming events would be posted on there, and you can check it out for any state.
And that website once again?
www.operationmilitarykids.org.
Operationmilitarykids.org, and we'll have a link to that on our Facebook page. And Laura, there are a lot of information. Of course, our favorite page is beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
That's right.
Is there a lot of information on that page too as well?
There is a lot of information on that page. And you can actually go there to request the letter from the governor, from Governor Dayton, to your military-connected child. And the governor has also written a proclamation, and that can be found on beyondtheyellowribbon.org as well.
So for our service members in Minnesota, mm-hmm. if they want to do something a little special for their children, mm-hmm. they can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org
yep.
and request that letter from the governor, and then that comes to their children at home.
It sure does, yeah.
That's got to be fun. Not too often you get a letter from the governor, is it?
No, not too often.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, you've brought a couple of folks from your teen panel.
We did.
And we're going to meet them and find out what military kids actually think about Operation Military Kids and about, Laura, what you're doing at the deployment support. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about April, the month of the military child, what that means in Minnesota, and we've been joined by Laura Grenewig. And Laura, you brought a couple of students with you today.
I did. I brought two of the Minnesota Military Teen Panel members to talk a little bit about the Teen Panel and the Teen Summit that they were a part of planning.
And so we have with us in the studio Mitch Howell and Kiana Kalii. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Have either of you been on the radio before?
Nope.
I have not.
You look like naturals. You'll be just fine. Laura, once again, back to Month of the Military Child and Operation Military Kids. This is an effort to bring all of our military children together and let them experience some things and discuss some issues that they might have that are different from non-military children.
That's right. We wanted to create an opportunity to bring military-connected kids together so they could network and that they could support each other. And also, with April being Month of the Military Child, it was a great opportunity to let them talk about their experience as being a military-connected kid and having a parent who has been deployed, and for them just to connect with one another and support each other. And April is just the month that has been chosen to be that month to recognize the youth and raise awareness.
And Mitch, I understand you're part of the teen panel. Can you tell me what is the teen panel?
The teen panel is a group of teens that get together four times a year, and our main goal is what is called the Teen Summit. We bring 50 teens from across the state with parents or loved ones in the military, and we host different workshops, stress, team building, coping with deployment, and we have a night out each summit just for the teens to get to know each other and network so they can create a bond with someone who really understands what they're going through.
And how long have you been part of the teen panel?
I've been part of it since the start, which was 4 years ago. They had a focus group which created the criteria and objectives of the teen panel. And the following year, they sent out applications, and I applied and been there from the start.
And where do you live?
I live in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
St. Cloud. So you've been able to meet some military teens from all over the state then?
Yes, I have, from Brainerd down to Mound to Red Wing, everywhere.
Made some pretty good friends?
Yes, I have.
Has it been a good experience to come together and talk about common issues?
It's been a great experience because in my high school, I go to Recorey, and there really isn't that many military teens. So it was really nice to finally meet people who really understood what I was going through.
And Kiana, what do you like about being on the teen panel?
I really enjoy bonding with everybody. I've met so many new friends over the years on the teen panel. It's such a great experience. And I can't tell you how many connections I've made and how many people I still stay in contact with over all these years. It's been so much fun, and we've gotten so many opportunities that a lot of people would never get to see or have the chance to do.
And Kiana, where do you live and go to school?
I live in Bloomington. I attend Jefferson.
Jefferson. So you got to meet this guy from St. Cloud.
I did, yep.
Has that been fun?
It has. We've been good friends ever since the first focus group of the teen panel, and it's been a lot of fun over the years.
Had a lot of great trips to Louisville, to Alaska, everywhere.
To Lake Trails.
Oh, Canada too. Yep.
Oh, yes.
Sounds like it's been an adventure.
It has.
We took a group of the teen panel members to Lake of the Trails, and we did a camping trip, which was a very exploratory trip.
Got to know each other real well for that week and a half.
All right, now be careful. This is a family show. Mitch, can you tell me about the Teen Summit?
The Teen Summit is, like I said, a group of 50 teens that come together, and we have workshops that cope with stress, team building, military 101. We do a service project, a community service project. We've done tie blankets for soldiers overseas. We've done feed our starving children. We've done so many, and we also have the night out. We've gone to bowling places. We've gone to laser tag places, indoor roller skating rinks, and it's just a good time to get to know and get connected with other teens.
When do you find time for school?
Good thing the summit's in the summer.
I would guess so. We're speaking with Laura Grenewig, Mitch Howe, and Kiana Kelii about Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. Kiana, sounds like there's lots and lots of activities. Are they all in the summer, or some of them in the weekends during school?
Most of them are in the summer, ones that I attend at least. I really do focus on my schoolwork, and I do also really enjoy being a part of the military camps and the summits, so I make sure that I attend as many as I can in the summer.
So how many days of you're off for what, about 3 months?
Yes.
How many weeks do you get to do some of these events?
It really depends. I'm a counselor, and I'm on the panel, so we run a lot of the camps, and we also attend them. as many as we can attend, we will go and we will speak. And
Mitch was shaking his head up and down. Have you been counseling, Mitch? No.
No. We really do it together, usually on different camps and such.
So you're counseling some of the younger teens.
Yes.
And Mitch, I know you mentioned something before we went on the air. You signed up for the Minnesota National Guard, didn't you?
I did. I followed my family's footsteps. My dad and both my brothers are in, and last November I signed up, and I leave for basic June 5th.
So in between your junior and senior year, you're going to spend some time in the Army.
Yep, going to Fort Benning, Georgia, nice and hot.
You'll have some interesting stories to tell some of the seniors when you get back to St. Cloud, won't you?
Yes, I will, and I'll be in perfect shape for some football, too.
Uh-oh, he's going down there to work out. That's good. St. Cloud's going to have a good year this year, then. Laura, I understand that there's another event coming up in April.
There is. There's another opportunity for teens to participate in. They can submit a poem for Senator Franken's poetry contest. So they can write about what it's like to be a military child, and they can write about their experience.
I want to see what you're going to write about that when you get back from basic training, Mitch. That'll be a good one.
Yeah.
And Laura, there's also something coming up called Purple Up.
Yes, there's another opportunity, and this is for everybody statewide. They can wear purple on April 15th, and it's just called Purple Up Day, and it just is an opportunity to raise awareness and show support for military youth.
Kiana, how do you feel about Purple Up?
It's great. I really appreciate everything that everyone does in the community for the military kids and teens. It just means so much to us. So sometimes we get looked down on. Everyone thinks of all of our soldiers, and it's just really, I'm really grateful for everything that people do for us.
There's really a lot of support these days for our troops and for the families, aren't there?
Yes, there is.
Which is really terrific compared to Vietnam some years ago when there wasn't much any support of anything.
Things have changed.
Things have changed for the better. It's great. Mm-hmm. Kiana, how can our listeners, particularly military teens, become part of the Minnesota Military Teen Panel?
Well, like we said, we host a teen summit every summer in June, and how they can learn more about the teen panel, and if they want to apply for the teen panel, we have applications that can be found on www.beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Beyondtheyellowribbon.org, back to our favorite website again. We're just about out of time. Mitch, any final thoughts about the April as Month of the Military Child?
Last year, Senator Franken held a poetry contest, a military children poetry contest. You write a poem to express how you felt during your deployment or sometime during then. And I actually submitted last year and won the oldest age group for it. And I believe he's holding it again this year, which is a great opportunity to get your name out there and really show appreciation and get appreciation for what you've gone through.
And once again, we can find some information on that at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Yes, you can.
Kiana, any final thoughts for our listeners that might be thinking of participating?
Definitely. I would say attend our teen summit. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of great opportunities, and we have a lot of bonding time and a lot of fun together. I would enjoy it if everybody would come out to our teen summit.
Laura, Mitch, Gianna, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Laura Grenewig, Mitch Howe, and Kiana Kalee talking about Month of the Military Child. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, Laura Grenewig, Amber Greeley, Kiana Kalili, and Mitch Howe, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we'll hear how veterans from across the state are sharing their knowledge, skills, and stories through the humanities. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.